Pat Show. What you want? Well, it's Super Bowl week. Super Bowl guests. Our next guest, friend of the program, friend of mine, a guy who's played in the Super Bowl, a guy who has come on many times, which I very much appreciate over the years on this show. Louisiana Raging Cajun Hall of Famer, Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer, former UL quarterback, won a championship in the NFL Europe, but backup for the Saints, and of course, many great years with the Carolina Panthers. He is in their Wall of Fame or Wall of Honor. I hope I called it the correct phrase there, Jake. But first off, man, good morning, and I mean it when I say it, man. I appreciate you coming on the show all these years. I really do.
Well, I certainly enjoy it. It's a it's always good memories. Even though we came out second in that football game, it's always good memories when you go back to Super Bowl week and watching the when I got to see the players, you know, leaving on Sunday, just seeing some highlights and vividly remember those times in Charlotte, driving to the stadium, having a send off, an impromptu basically celebration of the fans sending us off and getting on a plane and the excitement that our team had to go play in the biggest game of your life.
I tell you what, man, you've talked about it right after the game. You stayed on the field for a little while, and there's that part of you that's like, we got to get back here. And, you know, I've kind of been reflecting, I guess, this week more than I thought I would about, you know, my 18 years here. And I hadn't been on the radio too long. I was in my early 20s. But when I started here, you know, I hadn't been here too long. And I'm on with Jay Walker, and we're talking about the Carolina Panthers going to Seattle with a chance to get back to the Super Bowl. You know, I said it was going to be a Jake Super Bowl. I thought the Panthers would win. I thought the Broncos would win and Jake Plummer would go. But it didn't turn out that way. It was Pittsburgh, Seattle. But, you know, like I ask you every year how much you think about the Super Bowl game. How often do you think about the times where you guys almost got back there?
Well, not often, to be quite honest, because I've said this, and I'm not so sure we were that good in 2005. I think we were a pretty good football team, there's no doubt, and we lost to Seattle. I thought Seattle were just a lot better than us, in my opinion. We had to go to New York to play in that round of the playoffs early on, and they were depleted. Better than them. We beat them. And then Chicago, I believe, was the number one seed. They were loaded with that defense, and we had lost to them, I think, about 6 to 8 weeks earlier. I got sacked 8 times in that game, and we just jumped on them, and we punched them in the mouth early. And I know that's a cliche phrase that gets used, but that's exactly what happened, and they never recovered. We won like 29-22 or something like that against that defense. But we were running out of steam. We were running out of running backs, injuries, and went to Seattle. And they they got after us. And so I don't think about it much because they were better than us. I mean, it's not hard for me to admit sometimes when a team's better than you, they just are. And I just thought they were better than us. So, but you certainly, you think you're going to get back. You think at some point you can get back. And I'm assuming Sean Payton and Drew Brees felt the same thing, that all these years they would get back. And you look at an Aaron Rodgers. It's hard. It's so hard. It's so difficult. Everything's got to kind of go your way, and you got to pretty much try to stay injury-free as much as you can.
Yeah, I'm sure that Brees and Peyton, you know, you probably look back at 06 fondly because of what it meant for sort of the region and the improbable run. But as far as, like, almost getting to the Super Bowl, you know, the reality is they weren't better than Chicago. They just weren't.
They probably think
about 2018 a lot more than they think about 2006, you know?
Sure.
So what game outside of the Super Bowl do you think about the most? Because I don't know how often you think about your playing days, but there's got to be a game outside of the one you're asked about the most, which I'm sure is the Super Bowl. What's number two on that list for you?
Man, I think one of the games that stuck out to me the most, and it was one that it was a regular season game. It was the game that I came back from Tommy John surgery. It was the first game of the year, 2008, in San Diego. that one sticks out. I was able to throw a touchdown pass literally on the last play of the game. And that's one, you know, coming off the Tommy John, that was big. That was emotional. That's one that sticks out. That really and truly, it wasn't a playoff game and things like that. But that's one that just kind of always, that's always there for me.
Is there, was there a moment when you're coming out of surgery and you're rehabbing where you're, you know, I ask you this because I've heard players talk about it. I mean, on one hand, Drew Brees talks about the shoulder and how he never had a doubt. And then, you know, if you get him in a moment where he's feeling a little vulnerable, he's like, you know, there was a moment there where we weren't too sure. I'm sure the optimistic part of you, Jake, and the you know, the work ethic in you, you're like, I'm going to come back from this. But honestly, were there any moments of doubt whenever you go through something like that?
No, there was not. And the only reason I say that is not to be bravado or whatnot. I had my elbow killed me for about 3 years. I mean, it hurt. It wasn't fun. It hurt to when I warmed up. It hurt to brush my teeth. It hurt to shake somebody's hand. It hurt constant. And when it finally tore, I was in no more pain. There was no more pain. So I knew, like, man, if we can just get this fixed. And there were a couple of other things that I needed to get fixed in my elbow. I had bone spurs, another piece of bone they took out, and something in my forearm they had to fix. So it was like, I'm going to be better. I mean, that's kind of how what I was thinking about it. And I relived the Tommy John a great deal the last week and a half with the whole Brock Purdy situation. I've done numerous interviews with the radio stations out in San Fran asking me about mine. And, you know, like I told them, I said, mine was different. Mine was a cumulative effect that happened over time. Brock Purdy's a young kid that had a blunt trauma force hit right on that elbow that caused his to tear. So, but mine, it was more relief, I guess you can say. Finally, I'm not going to have pain.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah. It was kind of a lot. You kept putting it off, and you were glad to finally have it behind you. And you know, you came back, and you know, 08. I know it didn't end the way that you guys had planned, or certainly the way you wanted. But if you're able to just look at the regular season, I mean, I remember being in the dome, and you know, Saints fans were out of the playoffs. They're just hoping Brees can break Marino's record. Little did we know that thing would be broken a whole lot over the next decade plus. But you guys were gearing up. You know, you won the game. You're gearing up for another division title and what you guys thought would be another playoff run. But, you know, I want to get back to the Super Bowl. Jake DeLome, our guest. You talk a lot about that moment where you hit Ricky Prohl for the touchdown. Is that why do you think about – I don't even know if you've ever been asked this, but why do you think about the good moment, I guess, more than, you know, I guess the agony of defeat when you get so close to the ultimate goal, but you come up short? Because when I ask you about the most memorable moment, you often point to what was your favorite moment in the game, which was a positive moment for you and for your team.
You know, you think about the ones that get away, but look, Scott, I'm 48 years old now. I've been removed for over a decade. And so I just think, you know, I just think about the good. It's like I'm lucky enough to do the radio for Carolina. And so flying back and seeing the, you know, seeing the players when I go back for games, and it's not, and you see these guys, and the first thing that comes to your mind is just the practice fields, the locker rooms with those ex-players, and all the good memories that you shared and that you have. So those things make me happy. And so when I think about my football career, it makes me happy because it was a great time. Not all the times were great. I mean, hell, I got booed out of the stadium in Carolina in 2009, rightfully so, because I wasn't worth a darn. But I don't think about that often. I think about all the great times that I had.
That's a good way to do it, man. I think you can leave somewhere and, you know, you can be bitter or you can be grateful. And I think it's wise to choose the latter. And, you know, they gave you a chance, Jake, when other teams didn't want to. I know you have a special kinship with that franchise. I like to pick your brain about them from time to time. And, you know, I text you a little bit during the season about them. But ultimately, how did you feel about Carolina's season overall? And then I guess you can segue right into – their decision to go with Frank Reich. And, you know, there was some talk of Wilkes maybe sticking around. But how do you feel about the season as a whole and the state of that franchise right now?
Well, I understand if there was some frustration with Steve Wilkes. I thought he did a masterful job. I mean, this team was 1-5. We're not going anywhere. They get rid of Matt Rhule, and there's really no quarterback. We get Baker, but that wasn't – it just nothing was going well, to be quite honest. The defense was playing good. The defense was ranked in the top five. And Wilkes did a good job of righting the ship. He became the man in charge. The first game, it was in Los Angeles against the Rams. It didn't go our way, but Steve Wilkes won over the team in the beginning of the second half, I believe, when Robbie Anderson pitched a fit on the sidelines. And I believe Steve Wilkes said, yeah, you can go ahead and leave now. And that changed the trajectory of how this team was going to respond. Then you trade away Christian McCaffrey, who was without a doubt your best football player. But this team kept battling. And then Sam Darnold was able to come back from injury, and he kind of quieted down the quarterback room for us, I guess you could say. P.J. Walker did well, but he ended up with a high ankle. So I thought Wilkes did a really good job. I'm happy that Frank got the job. I think Frank's an extremely good football coach. And the owner was leaning toward offense, and he even said it after Frank was hired. He said, listen, every single year the NFL changes a rule in the offseason, and it's to benefit the offense. Every year. He said, this is an offensive league. That's what attracts eyeballs. And so that's the direction he was going to go. So you feel bad for Steve, but the way the NFL is going, it's offense, offense, offense. So he went with Frank. Frank had a really good plan. I think that was an unfortunate situation in Indy with all the quarterback turmoil that they had. And the Panthers are searching for that franchise quarterback. That's what the owner wants. Every team wants that. I mean, I'm not saying anything that's earth-shattering, but Frank's one that if that's a possibility of getting someone via trade or in the draft, Frank's one that the owner feels good about moving in that direction.
Jake DeLomar, guest, 103.3 The GOAT, simulcast on 1420. It's the Great Scott Show. I'm Scott Prather. You mentioned it, quarterback, right? I mean, I guess if you knew, you would tell me you don't, but I got to ask you anyway. What direction do you think Carolina's going to try to go with quarterback, and ultimately, where do you think it'll be settled? Because those that have them don't want to lose them, and those that don't will do anything to get one. And when I say get one, I'm not talking about a starter. I'm talking about a top-tier quarterback in the league, because it's really hard to win if you don't have one.
No, it's very difficult to win consistently. And so, listen, I'm not sure, Scott. I know a couple of years ago we were in the running for Matthew Stafford, and then the Rams offered a whole lot more to Detroit to get Matthew. And listen, I think we're all watching what Aaron Rodgers is going to do. I think we're all watching what's going to happen with Derek Carr. So, and then the draft, there's three guys that's being talked about a great deal. And the Richardson kid from Florida is kind of the wild card out there. But it's Stroud, it's Bryce Young, and then Will Levis. So, we're picking nine. We have some ammunition, from draft capital, from the trade of Christian. And so we'll see, you know, we'll see how aggressive, what the front office wants. And if there's someone they have their sights set on, you just don't know. Or is it a trade? So it's I'm like everyone else. I'm a fan when it comes to that part. I'm anxious to see the whole Aaron Rodgers saga and what happens there. But you got to have one, man. It's just evident. Just going into this weekend, I mean, like, Mahomes, he's a unicorn. We all know he's different. But just they got him at a certain point in the draft that it wasn't the first or second pick, but they were able to get one Jacksonville. Think of the coaches in Jacksonville, how excited they have to be to go into work every single day, knowing, oh, my gosh, we've got one to give us a chance.
You've talked about I've talked to you about culture. I guess maybe we didn't even use the word culture back when we talk about it. We probably use the word chemistry. Culture is kind of a code word, really an overused word when it comes to sports. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think it's the proper term, but you've talked about culture at different places and throughout your career, whether it be as a player, whether it be as an analyst. And I look at Jacksonville, I'm like, man, they went from Urban Meyer to Doug Peterson. I mean, you went from the pig pen to the penthouse. And Peterson, I think, is a good coach. But for that culture change, man, it was – because Peterson wasn't just taking over where they had winning. You know, if you're good, but you're taking over a place where, you know, I would say a lot of players, a few of which I've talked to, really couldn't stand the previous regime, suddenly you're willing to buy into anything. So you don't even have to be great. You can just be good, and then the culture is going to be good. And you played on some teams where, you know, they're guys that maybe they weren't headliners, you know, like a Nick Goings type, but they were just paramount to a culture and a chemistry. And I guess my question is, when you don't have consistency at the quarterback position, how hard is it to keep that culture and chemistry? Just because when you're winning, I'd imagine it's a little easier to do it than not. You look at teams that have had rough, quote, cultures. Well, the chances are, Jake, maybe they had some ownership issues. I get all that. But they probably haven't had stability at quarterback either.
Listen, when you have one, you can sleep so much better at night. I mean, yes, teams can manufacture with someone that's just average for a little bit, unless you just have this great roster. But you've got to have that guy pulling the trigger just to have that confidence. And especially now, I know it's just one game that was added, but this 17th game, oof, it just seems like it was very different this year. It almost seems like the first 5 weeks of the season were like, okay, we're just going to feel ourselves out. We'll see how it goes. That's what the season felt like. And so I know it's just one game, but it just seemed like it just changed the whole mindset of how teams get ready to play the season and things like that. So to have one and one that can stay healthy, I think that's another thing, durability, availability. You know, I'll go back to Mahomes and even Jalen Hurts. I'm not so sure what kind of shoulder injury he has, but any quote that comes from Philly, since it's not going to get better. Well, that tells me he's having a surgery at the end of the season. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's his right shoulder. And he hasn't looked as good as he has earlier in the season. Now, he can still run it, and this week off is going to help him tremendously in between the championship game and the Super Bowl. But, you know, those guys are available. You know, Jalen's available. That means a great deal. The whole Lamar situation, I don't know how much of that Lamar Jackson is tied to a contract, but he's missed a ton of games the last couple of years. So, you know, you certainly want some security in that aspect of it, but availability goes a long way.
No question. What are your thoughts on Derek Carr? I know that he's not, you know, Lamar Jackson obviously is the top free agent, and I think ultimately Baltimore's just going to, they're going to have to bite the bullet and pay the guy. I mean, they could franchise tag him. I know plenty of teams that'll say, cool, we'll give up first and pay him. We'll gladly do it. I think he ultimately is going to end up back in Baltimore. And Carr is, I just want your thoughts on him as a former quarterback, because there's moments, Jake, where I'm like, golly, dude, this guy can sling it. He appears to have, you know, the leadership ability. I mean, his teammates seem to get behind him. And then there are other times where I watch it and I'm like, what is he? Who is that guy? Like it's almost like a Jekyll and Hyde with him. What are your thoughts on him? I don't know how much you've actually gotten to see him, but I know you follow the league pretty closely.
Yeah, I listen, I think he's a talented player. I played with his brother, David. David backed me up for a year in Carolina. And listen, David was a very smart player. David was extremely accurate with the football. I'm not so sure how much David loved the NFL or loved football. I'm not so sure he put in the time needed to be a successful starting quarterback in the league. But he lasted over a decade because he wasn't going to rock the boat. David, he was sharp. He could pick up an offense quick. He was very good throwing the football, especially in practice. So it worked out good. He ended up being a backup for many years. I think that was ideal. Derek is a little bit bigger, probably a bigger arm. I thought I was a fan of his. I try to be a quarterback apologist. I want quarterbacks to succeed. And I know how difficult the NFL is. And he won me over last year, to be quite honest. The whole John Gruden debacle, the whole car wreck with the wide receiver. I'm drawing a blank on his name, from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And just everything. And I said, man, this kid really won me over. I mean, he kept that team going and got them, really had a good season last year. And then this year, I just truly thought with Josh McDaniels, I know Josh, I'm not so sure about him as a head coach, but Josh is a really good offensive coordinator. And just to see them go up 20-0 on teams and can't score a point in the second half, to me, that's a reflection of the quarterback. I don't care what plays are being called. Somehow, some way, get your team into the end zone or get them to get a field goal. He threw a pretty significant pick at one point this year in one of the games right before the half against either Kansas City or the Chargers. And I'm like, man, that's, you know, I've thrown a lot of bad picks in my life. There's no doubt. But points are a premium in the NFL, man. And I don't know. I thought he took a setback this year. But somebody's going to give him a chance, and I still think the talent's there. It certainly sounds like there was some miscommunication with him and McDaniels. That certainly didn't seem like that was a happy marriage.
Yeah, and I bring him up because I know a number of teams in the NFC South may have some interest. And ultimately, as bad as the division was this year, Jake, historically bad, if we're being frank here, if one of the four teams can get any, whoever has, I think, the best quarterback is automatically probably the favorite to win the South next year. Maybe I'm overstating it, but that's kind of what it feels like when I look at the division after this season.
Well, the division's wide open, and yes, it was not a good division this year. Tampa, I'm not sure what's going to happen there. I think Atlanta's still a ways away. I'm a big fan of their coach. I'm a fan of Arthur Smith. I like what they do and how that team plays, because I think they were pretty devoid of talent, to be honest. Saints, I was surprised. I thought the Saints could have won and should have won that division. I thought the roster was there. Certainly offensive line injuries, I think that hampered them some. You lost Lattimore for a great portion of the season. Safety play wasn't, in my opinion, up to par, which I really thought Tyrann Mathieu would have kind of created a few more of these turnovers for the Saints. But it's certainly wide open, that division. I don't think there's any doubt, and it's there to be taken. And I follow the Panthers, obviously, closer than all the other teams, but I still follow them because I get to see them both play twice a year, all those teams. And, I like where the Panthers sit at, but it's going to come down to, can one of these teams find that legitimate quarterback moving forward? Because the roster in Carolina has improved and has gotten better, and it will continue to get better. Salary cap is in decent shape, and it'll be in great shape the following year for Carolina. I know the Saints, they're going to have to work some, they're going to have to work some magic with that salary cap, but Mickey does a very good job there. And Tampa, I'm not sure what happens in Tampa. And Atlanta, I think Terry Fontenot's sharp, man. I like Fontenot. I think they're building something there. It might take a couple of years, but I think they're building.
Jake DeLome, our guest, 103.3 The GOAT simulcast on 1420. I know we're kind of all over the place this morning. Usually I have more structure as far as the order I ask you questions, but let's just let it fly off the handle. When you watch Super Bowls, do you think about yours?
Oh, not really. I mean, you know what? I love watching the pregame portion of it when they show the guys going out to warm up. Because, Scott, you're floating on air. Ricky Prohl, who played in a couple of Super Bowls with St. Louis, and he addressed the team the week prior before we played, and he was like, guys, just you have to be careful in warm-ups. That was the biggest thing. You have to be careful. Your emotions will be through the roof. Like, you're going to go do your normal routine, but, like, I would go out before the game in my sweats or whatnot. Now, it was a certain little throwing routine I used to like to do, and took me a little bit to get loose and warmed up. I went out for the Super Bowl in Houston. The first pass I threw, I'm like, okay, this is what he means. My arm was juiced. Everything was just jacked up. And then I thought Coach Fox was magnificent in what he did. He asked the NFL, he said, hey, any chance we could allow our 53 guys on the team to all dress out for warmups he said, we're going to turn in our active roster. Who's the inactives? We're going to turn that in 90 minutes before. So it's not like it's going to be a guessing game for New England's going to know who's the six or seven guys that are not active. And the NFL allowed it. And so we had guys that were inactive every week. Let's say your eighth and ninth offensive lineman, your fourth tight end, or whatever it may be. Those guys got to wear a uniform and dress out. That meant so much to them. We were doing pat and go, and that's kind of like where the receiver's in one line, the quarterbacks are just throwing fades when you slowly start to warm up. And I had a practice squad a tight end, Marco Battaglia, in his seventh year. He knew he was probably his last year, and he said, hey, throw it far. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I'm diving. He said, I'm getting my uniform full of grass stains from the Super Bowl field, knowing he wasn't going to play. But that's exactly what it means. And then going in the locker room, and then when you come out, and, like, it was open up two big doors, you saw just the flash, the bulbs, the flashing, and it was just you see, like, you don't remember. It's like an out-of-body experience. You're just floating on air, watching just grown men just cry from the emotions of knowing, like, we're at the pinnacle. This is where we're at. So, man, it was. That's what I enjoy about Super Bowl Sunday. Watching those teams beforehand, watching the national anthem and the emotions, and, like, it's the world's watching, and that's what's so great.
You know, you guys were. That Super Bowl was, it was obviously a classic. It was a great game. The year before, it was, you know, Tampa and Gruden. Just it was a blowout. The year before that, you know, that was your boy Brandon Stokely, who, you know, we talked to earlier. I mean, they win that by a lot. You had the close game between St. Louis and Tennessee, but I guess what I'm getting at, Jake, is for so many years, you'd have a good one here and there. Like, Giants beat Bills by a point; they were an underdog. But you had a lot of lopsided games. And, you know, that year, you guys, it was close. The next year, again, it was close. You know, a few years here and there. But for the most part, you know, Seattle, you know, beat Denver by a bunch for that game in Newark. But so many of these Super Bowls have been really, really good, close games for the most part. I know the NFL loves that. I'm sure the league loves that. And I'm sure they're hoping for that again this Sunday. Do you think we're getting a close game Sunday? Do you think this thing, you know, 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter and we're saying, hey, it's anybody's ball game right now?
Well, I think because Patrick Mahomes, I think you have to feel that way. Philadelphia, in just listening to people, you know, everyone thinks they have the better roster, and I believe they do, especially interior defensive line-wise. Mm-hmm. I just think – gosh, they've got some dudes that they could just roll out there. Secondary is very good. Offensively, though, I'm a little worried. They just haven't played as sharp. I'm not so sure the Giants were that good of a football team. They were extremely well coached, and the quarterback played extremely well for them this year. And then San Fran, I mean, that's no quarterback. I mean, it is what it is, that game. But Patrick Mahomes, if he's in a game, and I know I keep gushing about him, just, the guy's different. He's just different. There's no other way around it. The Super Bowl that they lost to Tampa, he had no offensive line. I think everyone knew that going in, and that's what the game was about. This guy was running around. I don't see it being that case. I understand Philly, like I keep saying, they have a very good front, and they can get after you. But I just think Mahomes is going to keep this team in the game. And I thought San Fran was better than Kansas City a few years back, but Mahomes was the best player, and that's how the game ended up. San Fran was a better team, and Mahomes made a couple of plays, and he wins it. So that's how I think it's going to be this week. There's something about him. I just can't go against the guy, man. He's a special player.
He's, it must be so nice to be a Chiefs fan. I mean, I would imagine they're probably like, I don't have any numbers in front of me, Jake, but I would say like the population in like the Kansas City area, like Missouri, Kansas, all that, it's probably grown in the last few years because like Chiefs fans are just happy all the time. I mean, it doesn't matter what the weather is because they wake up and they realize, oh, that's right, our quarterback's Patrick Mahomes. He's the best player on the planet. Like, that must be nice to be a Chiefs fan right now.
Well, it certainly would be nice because, and listen, this guy, he was so well, highly thought of, and I was privy to some information out of Kansas City early on. The head PR guy was the number two man with Carolina for about 3 or 4 years with me, and that's a guy I dealt with all the time, and we're still very close. This is no lie. Patrick Mahomes' rookie year, he did not play. Everybody knows Alex Smith was the starter. I think Patrick started the last game.
Yep.
It was Thanksgiving week of that year, and I talked. The guy's name is Ted Cruz. He's the head PR guy for the Chiefs. We were catching up, talking about family, and I asked him about Mahomes, and he said, Jake, he said, he's the greatest quarterback I've ever seen in my life, and he hasn't played a snap yet. And so I was like, really? He said, he's an unbelievable kid, unbelievable person. He said, he's so good, Jake. He said, even Alex Smith is like, he said, hey, I'm enjoying this last year here because y'all have to play him. He said, he's that good. Just the things he did after practice with the practice squad receivers, the way he could get his reps and things like that. So that was always something that always warmed my heart when you hear about younger players that knew in the whole, you know, Tony Robichaux phrase, you got to work while you wait. I mean, that's what he did. And he didn't have to wait long, obviously, 1 year. But just to hear that, and so I've always taken a liking to him, and then watching him play, I mean, anybody can see he's just different.
I in 20 years of sports radio, as I only have a few days left here, I've had some pretty bad takes, Jake. You know, said some dumb things before. Perhaps the dumbest thing I ever said, maybe I would say the dumbest thing I said in hindsight was, man, I'm glad Kansas City jumped up in front of New Orleans, man. I mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes, I mean, you know, he played in the Big 12, you know, he threw all these interceptions. I mean, is the Big 12, is it really going to work in the NFL? And, yeah, it turns out he's like the best player ever. So probably the worst take I ever had on the radio.
That's all right. That happens, man. And listen, I don't know. They played LSU. Texas Tech did at one point. I don't know at one point. And I don't know if it was a bowl game or one of these early games.
It was
games
a Texas bowl or something. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It was in Houston. And I remember watching that game and saying to myself, like, there's two different athletes on the field, the LSU athletes and then Texas Tech. And this kid is running around and making LSU look below average. Like, who is this kid? I mean, that's when it was like, what is going on? And yes, you see the interceptions, but we don't know who he was playing with.
Oh yeah,
receiver wise and things like that, and that offense. And so he's different, man.
I learned my lesson. You know, my friend Jay Walker, you know, I gave him a hard time for years because when the Saints signed Drew Brees, he came on the radio and he said, you know, what the hell are the Saints doing signing a quarterback that's injured? Like, this is going to be awful. This is going to backfire. And, you know, I mean, what are they thinking? You know, this is Carolina's division and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I would remind him of that from time to time. So, yeah, he was able to get one up on me when I spouted that palaver about Patrick Mahomes because he's that good. Now, I guess I'm kind of rooting for the Chiefs, like, but –
I'll tell you right now, I'm rooting for the Chiefs. I hate Philadelphia.
Yeah, there
and
you
it's
go.
Nothing. It's the Eagles, man. Like, there is, you get so many middle finger salutes when you go play the Eagles, and they're just, I mean, every time we played there was a complete disaster, except the NFC Championship game when we beat them. And I'm going to be very honest. You know, I think we broke Donovan McNabb's ribs in, like, the second quarter. And once he got hurt, the air went out the stadium. I mean, everybody knew he was their guy, and it was just, we had the lead at that point, and it was just – I remember Coach Fox looking at me and was just like, hey, we're just not letting them get back in the game. So we were going to just run it, throw easy passes, check downs, just keep them off the field because our defense was at the bit. But, like, Philadelphia, man, that, I don't know. It's just a disdain. But every player I've ever – or every buddy of mine that ever played there – in Philly, they love it. They absolutely love it. They love the fans. They say, look, it's tough, but they love everything about it. So credit to the Eagles, but, man, they make it hard to pull for them.
Man, I remember that game well, Jake, and I remember I was still in college. I think I might have been a senior, and I was I did I minored in drama. I was in a play at the time, and there was this professor and this director of the play, and he, you wouldn't have known it. He just found out that I was into sports. I never heard him talk about sports. He found out I was into sports one day. He was from Philly, and he was like, as soon as he started talking about the Eagles, his entire personality would change. It would, like, he would just start MFing and talking about all this stuff, and he was telling stories about how he and his friend almost beat up this kid who was in a Montana jersey when he was young because the kid was, like, from Philly and didn't know anything. And I'm like, whoa, like, calm down, man. And you know, that day that you guys won that game, we had a rehearsal that night, and I just walked in. I was like, yeah, Jake DeLome, I mean, I'm from where he's from. You know, he played down the road, and he just took it to Philly. How you like that? And, you know, I think he wanted to recast my part in the play after that. He was not happy with me, and then he ended up getting over it and laughing about it. But, well, yeah, they're a bit prickly, Jake.
In all seriousness, we beat St. Louis in the second round, and so we're playing in a championship game in Philly. Well, it was told to us by our security and by our head coach. Hey, listen, I understand wives and families want to go to this game. Hey, I'd advise you not to send them. I mean, very simple. It's a rough atmosphere. It's a rough crowd, and so very simple. I told the family, like, yeah, nobody's going. It's nobody's going to Philly. It is what it is. I said, because I don't want to have to worry about y'all getting there and this and that. So nobody's gone. And I had my brother and his best friend, which they can handle themselves. They were the only two that went, but they wore gray jackets with no Panther logo, no anything on it. And they were on one of the trains taking them to the stadium. And he said they did partake in the EAGLES Eagles chant just to be one of them. He said, because it was a different type of crowd.
That's wild, man. I kind of picked Philly to win the Super Bowl a while back, so I'm still riding it, but I hope that I'm wrong, because I am not rooting for them either. Jake DeLome has been our guest. Jake, it's been a pleasure, man. Like I said, when I started out here in Lafayette anyway, you were playing in the, you know, you're playing in the postseason. You were doing things with the Panthers, and you came back to this area, and you've always been generous with your time. Anytime I've asked you to come on, you've always said yes, and it's been fun, man. And I see you around town at time, and your wonderful family, and you know, I feel like we're friends. And I wish you nothing but the best, brother. And thanks again for always coming on the show whenever I put in that request.
Well, Scott, I appreciate it. It's always fun to talk about good memories, and Super Bowl was definitely one. And best of luck in your new endeavor, and you've done a great job, and certainly we'll miss you.
Appreciate it. All the best, Jake. Take care.
Okay, Scott.
And on that note, we are out of time on the Great Scott Show.
Move me!
Big thanks to Brandon Stokely. Big thanks to Thomas Morstead, and to that guy, Jake DeLome. Tomorrow, my friend, James Butler, former UL and NFL wide receiver, in studio. We're going to have some fun. Two more shows left. I'll talk to you guys then. This is 103.3 The GOAT, the greatest sports talk of all time.